Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Steve Phillips. We think it'll be Steve Phillips. It could be Keegan Matheson. It could be could be anybody. You know, it could be our boy Scotty Mitchell in 5 minutes. We have no idea who's coming on the show today. But when it happens. And whoever we chat with, that's who we will be chatting with, because we are professionals and this is a professional broadcast.
What the grappler needs to understand is if we were all in the studio and he was behind the glass, yeah, I could see like Macho Man Randy Savage like through the glass at the grappler. If that was like live or something and we were all back there. Rewind it maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Oh.
It would have been a crime scene in there.
I'd be in a neck brace right now because my neck would have broken turning right and staring at the grappler. And the grappler would be Lloyd Christmas when Cam Neely comes over.
Yeah.
Or was it Harry Dunn? I can't remember who sewered who. But he would have his head down the rest of the show. Like, he wouldn't be making eye contact. And that's what happens when you're doing shows at home. You know, this is what we're trying to get through. It was a pre-tape with Jake DeLome. It was a beauty. Awesome having him on. And we'll get Jake Plummer on again at some point, too.
Right.
But the Jays back in action tonight, and Steve Phillips
will join
us. Grappler
just said he would have went home. Grappler said he would have went home.
Just jumped in the car and drove home. Like, at that point, remember, there are times when you know you're being fired. Now, that's not a fireable offense.
No.
We're having fun. We're having fun with it. But who was it? With the cameraman at the Tour de France, where they ran into the guy. Like, that's a fireable offense.
Yes.
You have one job, and that's get out of the way of the guys on bikes, and you end up hitting one. Like, that's a fireable offense right
yes.
there. Don't just keep driving and head home. Don't even collect your last check. Like, this isn't – it's we had fun with it. It would have been a little bit stressful. Like, now, had Jake DeLome go – what the hell? Is this amateur? Like, if he made a big deal about it, then now we're in one, right?
Now it's
like,
now you're, now, yeah. now you're trying to reel the fish back in. You know what I mean? Like, then
right.
it's, we're apologizing, which we did. We have a new audience at 5. Why don't we play this, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So we had Jake DeLome on. Jake DeLome, longtime NFL quarterback with Carolina, went to a Super Bowl. Everyone knows Jake DeLome, and he was on with us for a pre-tape. We caught up with him around 3:30. The grappler had been telling us for the better part of 24 hours that Jake Plummer was coming on.
You have to let me tee this up. It's my favorite thing ever. So we're being told all morning. It's kind of cool. Like Jake the Snake Plummer, goatee, whole nine, like Broncos, Cardinals, whatever.
Yeah.
Like stud quarterback. I'm like, let's fire this up. This is how the pre-tape started because we're talking to Jake the Snake Plummer.
Here he is back on Overdrive, longtime NFLer. We haven't had him on in a couple of years. He's always great to have on. Here is Jake Plummer. What's happening, Jake?
It's DeLome, not Plummer, if you want to reset it.
That's great.
All right, Brooksy.
The pause. The pause. Like, there is a full second and a half of, like...
And after, like, I don't know if Mulls has the little clip after, but he's got, like, the southern draw, and he's like... Don't worry, I'm not upset. I don't have an ego. I don't care. I was like, I didn't know if I can.
Well, you two were just your mics went off quickly. I'm dancing. I'm trying to get through this thing and trying to get it back on the rails. Like, think about what's going through my head, when I'm resetting,
knowing that this guy can say all he wants, Hayes, but he hates our guts.
Hates our guts for sure. And then this is what he's got to hear for a second time. 3, 2, 1. Really glad to have our next guest on. Love having him on. Huge fan. We've been jacked up all day. Here is Jake DeLome. How are you, Jake? We're really fired up. And he knows we're not preparing for Jake DeLome.
No.
He knows we're not jacked up. We are jacked up in retrospect because he was a great interview.
What happens if you butcher it the second time and you call him Jake Plummer again? His Mull's got to hang up on him.
He's got to hang up. Then he thinks it's a bit, right? He thinks he's being punked at that point.
He's
looking for Ashton Kutcher, and he's thinking he's being punked because these buffoons can't figure it out. Anyway, all good. We'll play that 45,000 times in the foreseeable future. The grappler will not be looking past that one anytime soon.
Can't let him off the hook, but we're lucky we made it through. The thing that was crazy about it, too, was that, you know, with pre-tapes, we all have to coordinate. Like, not everyone's available for a pre-tape because, you know, kids picking up from school, all of that type of stuff. So that's why there was preparation for Jake Plummer.
Right.
Like, you know, usually it's like, hey, you know what? Like, I don't know, Dregs has to call in earlier. We're pre-taping Dottie, or, you know, when it was Ray or just somebody. Like, there's no prep because you're like, yeah, let's do it at 3:30.
I love it, Doodle. Strutty, Jake Plummer's all of gotten that. Into handball. He's gotten into handball.
Yeah.
Jake Plummer, great. Yeah. He's not even on the show.
I remember having a convo with him years ago, but he's a big minivan guy. Loves the minivan. I was going to circle back. I made notes. A big, bold minivan with exclamation points. And I'm like, I'm making notes. I'm preparing here. And it got off the rails. Anyway, Steve Phillips, we believe, will join us here in a moment. A lot of NHL news, which is what you would expect. Elvis Merzlikins has got a new 5-year deal at $5.4 million per in Columbus. So there's your starting goalie, your number one guy.
It's a big deal. That's
big
a big
deal in Columbus. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Korpisalo's
on. But you like him,
on,
though. You like him
I
as
do.
A goalie, don't you?
I think he's a. I think he will be a better goaltender than Korpisalo when the dust settles. You know, they had tragedy this offseason. There's no way to get around it. And you know, Elvis was right there, like, legitimately. And he talked at the funeral about, you know, how the fireworks was headed towards him and his wife. And, you know, it was scary, like, that type of stuff. So, you know, you wonder how he's going to respond and what type of season he's going to have. But he's a fantastic goaltender. Korpisalo's unrestricted at the end of the season, so they might end up doing something with Korpisalo now that Elvis has the 5-year deal.
Wouldn't
I believe
be surprising
it's 5-year.
If they 5-year at $5.4 million per.
Yeah.
So he's locked up. We never mentioned Zdeno Chara signing in the Island.
I know.
Either, which is pretty significant. What goes around comes around. Drafted there, started his career there. Was flipped in one of the worst trades in the history of the planet. But that was Mike Milbury when he was really in his prime as the worst GM in hockey history. Like, I think you can have a bad prime, right? Like, there's when you think prime, you think you've peaked. Like, that's the top of the mountain in terms of success. If you're awful at what you do, you can have a bad prime where you're even worse in this window than you generally are. And I think Milbury was, like, in his prime when he made that deal, because it was Spezza and Chara for Yashin. I believe it was actually the second overall pick in Chara for Yashin, which turned into Jason Spezza. Anyway, here's a guy that only had a positive prime. Nothing but upside. Joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN Jays and MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. Nothing but a positive prime for you, right, Steve?
I got to tell you what, I was getting a little worried how that segue was going to work out for me. I started envisioning where that was going, and it did not look like what it turned out to be. So thank you for being so gracious.
What's your highest profile move, Steve, that was terrible?
No, I didn't have any. It was amazing how that worked.
Yeah, you do.
Not a single one, honestly. Bobby Bonilla. But
other than that, who brought Piazza to New York? Put your hand up,
Steve.
Yeah,
there you go. Now we're talking. Let's go. What else you got for me?
Well, actually, I saw it today was, I guess, the anniversary, the 20th anniversary, the first game post 9/11 when Piazza hit that home run. And I'm assuming you were in the building for that, or can you remember that home run?
Yeah, sure. In fact, I was in the building and I had meetings all day with the FBI and Office of Emergency Management, the police department and the fire department. And, you know, understand there were going to be more undercover officers than there were uniformed officers there, that we would have snipers in the scoreboard and on the roof. And it was going to be a fortress. They were, you know, first time metal detectors were being used in the sporting event in New York. And I remember, you know, going from sitting in those meetings to then going upstairs to my box where I'd watch the game. And I was overwhelmed in the afternoon. I had to get out. Bomb sniffing dogs were walking through every 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, like, what are we doing? Like, we're coming back to play, and this is what it's going to be. And I remember going up there, and Diana Ross was rehearsing with a gospel choir down on the field. I just started bawling. I mean, she was singing, you know, God Bless America, touching each of the high school band, you know, choir kids' faces when they were talking. And then the whole lead up to the game and the bagpipes coming in and the first responders, and, you know, the looks on the faces of the first responders. And I mentioned this in the piece that I did. on SportsCenter a couple weeks ago, but it was the most silent moment of silence I've ever been a part of. You know, because usually there's you hear some, you know, shuffling or somebody will be mumbling. It was silent. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. And that really spoke to where everybody was in a, contemplating what we were dealing with and where we were emotionally with everything. And the bagpipes they would play just, the sadness of the moment. But then the team shaking hands and the Braves and Mets who didn't like each other, the 21-gun salute, where the guns went off, and it shook you every time you heard the crack of the guns and the three calls of the guns. And so it was, then obviously the Piazza home run, which, you saw the dots connecting, and you thought, could this possibly be the storybook ending where Alfonso walked in the eighth inning, we're down a run, Piazza coming to the plate, the stadium rising, and just the noise of the stadium, the anticipation of the stadium, and then Piazza taking a strike and a fastball away, and I thought, now he's just going to get curveballs. Now, Steve Carce, who was in for the Braves, who's a New Yorker himself, had a great curveball. And talking to Piazza, he said, I thought I took that fastball. I thought, oh, man, I know he's got the good curveball. I'm going to take it if he throws it. And he threw him a fastball away, and he hit it out of the park. And just the eruption that took place there, I've never heard a louder stadium. And it wasn't a sellout crowd that night, I think, because of some of the fear that people had of coming out to an event. But, yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. And the celebration of the home run and what it meant and all of the lead-up to that and having meetings with the players about evacuation plans and what would happen if something happened at the stadium. It was a dramatic moment, and there were home runs that have been hit in bigger games, but I don't think there's ever been a bigger home run in New York sports history.
I was watching the video earlier today, incredible, and I've seen it before. It's amazing. It's been 20 years with Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Jays back in action tonight, game two of the three-game series against Tampa down at the Trop, Alec Manoah on the mound tonight. Yesterday, last night's game felt like a playoff game, like felt like two teams. Tampa, you know what you're going to get out of Tampa. They're going to make you work for it. They're going to make you make a mistake, they're going to pounce. They did that all night, and they hit Robbie Ray pretty well last night. He was more wild than he has been. He didn't even get through five innings, but it was a bullpen game. It was a game of resiliency. I appreciate the way the Jays battled throughout the late innings, and specifically in the ninth. Did not close the door, but they also didn't quit on it. I'm not a huge proponent of, moral victories, especially when you're trying to punch your ticket, but I think there's something about this team that they're still proving, and they have to prove, that they have what it takes to punch that ticket. And I think even though they lost last night, the resiliency and the way they played later in the game, going into the bullpen the way they had to, I was impressed with their mentality last night. What did you make of the Jays?
Yeah, I did too. I mean, here's the thing. Robbie Ray, I think it was the sixth time he's pitched against Tampa Bay this year. And that's really tough to do. I mean, the familiarity that they start to get. And the most amazing statistic of the game yesterday was, Robbie Ray threw, I think, 97 pitches through 4 2/3 innings. They fouled off 32 pitches.
Right.
They fouled off 32 pitches in 4 2/3 innings. Like Manny Margot, it kept fouling off. Yeah, I think he had 2-10 pitch at bat. And Robbie Ray just couldn't put him away. He couldn't put him away. And it was just one of those days. And listen, he got into some trouble, but he got out of it. And then it was the 3-run homer off of Yandy Diaz. But, short of that home run, if he makes a pitch and gets out of that, then who knows what happens in the game. But I agree. It was a playoff caliber game. Both teams worthy of being on the field with each other. The kid for them threw great, man. Shane Baz, he's the third piece of the Chris Archer trade that they made that came with Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows, and Shane Baz. This kid was as smooth and easy as a delivery as I've seen in the last couple of years, and the ball exploded out of his hand. And his dad was jacked. I don't know if you saw his dad in the stands, but his dad's got ginormous arms, man. It's like the kid's afraid not to pitch well because dad could do some damage. But it was really a good game, and I'm really excited to watch Manoah tonight pitching. And Fire Rising's really good. Got a great arm for them, too. Came over in a deal from the Brewers earlier this year. Manoah was so good last time against him. We'll see if he can duplicate it.
Steve, we have a segment on this show called Level of Concern. And if we were doing this segment and Ryu's name came across your desk for part of the segment, what would your level of concern be where he's at right now?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty significant level of concern. Not for the long haul. I think that he'll recover physically, but I just think that he's worn down. Here's a guy, I think he had four elbow surgeries in his career. He's had shoulder surgery. He's had his groin torn off the bone. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries, and he doesn't handle the rigors very well. He needs to get some breaks. And I think the last time he made 30 starts in the season was his rookie year in 2013. So, this is just different for him. And, I think that the disabled list, the injured list is probably the best thing to do. It protects him against himself and the team against throwing him out there. Here's the thing. They probably felt they couldn't afford to put him on the IL, but they can't afford not to put him on it if they're going to get anything out of him the rest of the year. And so they're kind of caught in that in-between place. And when that happens, you take the conservative route. You put him on the injured list. You know, you've got two more years on him. You want to get him through and get something out of him this year. You're not going to get it if you keep pitching him. So they need to really let him recover. He's got some forearm stuff that's been bugging him. They talked about his shoulder being a little bit tired. I mean, he needs a break. And it may be a little too little too late. It may have been that they should have done it in August when he first started showing signs. You look back at his time with the Dodgers. They put him on the injured list for neck spasm, fingernail, hangnail. I mean, they put him on the IL for whatever because they knew that he needed breaks during the year. He's not that workhorse guy. And so I'm concerned, but, there's a shot that they can get him to recover and still pitch well. But I think they're okay even without him, with the fact that they've got four other guys who are pitching extremely well right now.
Yeah, they are, and they had to go to their bullpen last night, though. We'll see what Manoah's got. They play an afternoon game tomorrow where it's likely going to be a bullpen game, and then they're in Minnesota for four. So it's not as if they've got an off day here. That is the only thing that concerns me. If you drop it tonight, Yankees are playing, Sox are playing, and you're going to the bullpen tomorrow, and your bullpen is starting to get used a lot more than it was a week ago, how does that shake out tomorrow? Like, how do you see Montoyo utilizing – basically an open slate here, or an empty slate, I should say, because Ryu will not be available for tomorrow's start.
Yeah, so, I think it just depends. I mean, they could go Hatch, they can go Stripling, they could piggyback the two of them. And so I think they've got enough innings left over to do that. Now, if they need one of them in long relief tonight, then it makes it a little bit more difficult. But with the 28-man roster, with some flexibility to option guys out, if you need to option them out, you've got some room to jiggle with that a little bit. I think that, Manoah is going to be interesting to see how deep he can go into the game. Remember, 8 innings, 1 hit, no runs last time out against them. I did a piece for SportsCenter tonight. We're checking out Manoah's slider. His last start, he threw his slider more than he threw his four-seam fastball or his sinker. He got 65% swing and misses on the slider. 9 of his 10 strikeouts came on the slider. And his horizontal movement on his slider is 15.6 inches. The average major league slider has horizontal movement of 9 inches. So the movement swiping across the plate, the way it breaks across the plate, he gets 15.2 inches. The plate itself is 17 inches wide. He can start his slider on the inside part of the plate and break it off the plate, which is why hitters had such a tough time hitting him last time out. And that's what to watch for tonight, to see how much he goes to that slider in the game against the Rays.
Well, we'll see what he's got tonight. Those are wild stats, wild numbers. And listen, when you watch him, you can see it. And he'll be jacked up for the game tonight. It's a big one for the Jays. The Red Sox in action, Yankees in action. We're tracking it. 12 games to go. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks here. Great catching up with you, Steve. We'll do it again real soon.
Okay, terrific, guys. Thanks.
There is Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out MapleToyota.com. So we'll see. Alec Manoah going tonight. It'll be a bullpen game tomorrow. And the Sox are in action. The Yankees are in action.
A lot of moving parts. That's the thing. Nobody's out of it. That's the concerning part. You can drop one here or there, but you got to take care of your own. Manoa's got to have a big game
tonight.
Think
about that 1 year. What was the transaction, Hayes, where back in the day the Jays were in Detroit for four, I think?
Yeah, they lost their final seven games to throw away the division. Yeah, that was back in 80. Yeah. That would have been, because they got there in 85.
It was mid-80s
late
80s. But
yeah.
It's not the point to dwell on the negativity of the past, but things can happen quickly
of course.
Like a 5 or 6 day segment. So
nothing's locked in.
No.
Like Boston's got the Mets at home here, and the Yankees are playing, who are they playing? The Rangers at home.
Right.
So, those are very winnable games for both teams. And you're at the Trop against Tampa, a team that is going to win 100 games.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, you got Minnesota on the horizon. You got Baltimore still to come. But you got to take care of business, man. That's the beauty of baseball. That's the beauty of sports. Anything can happen. You cannot your foot off the gas. And this is an unfamiliar position for the Jays. This is where when you compare it to Boston, compare it to New York, in terms of some of the big guys on that team, they have had a taste of meaningful games in September, getting into the playoffs. The Jays, even though it happened last year, it was a 60-game season, expanded playoffs. I don't think that necessarily counts. I don't think it necessarily applies to packed buildings in September, end of a 162-game grind. So they're the new kids on the block, and they've got to prove that they're up for it. And, you're going to lose ball games. You're going to lose to a team like Tampa. That's what happened last night. Let's see what you've got in response tonight. So we'll get back into the Jays a little bit later this afternoon, back into what the Packers achieved last night. Bunch of hockey storylines out there as well. We'll tell you about what's going on the eve of camp throughout the NHL, including the Leafs, who will be in town tomorrow for physicals, back on the ice on Thursday. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. It is Ryder Cup week. Video going viral of Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau.
Dude,
chatting it up
more
like
more of a stage thing in your life.
Loser move. Like they're two buddies now on the range, and Koepka's just tweeting out, "Hey, we're teammates, and it's all good." Like
I've never seen anything like it. It was just like he walked up to him. I don't know if Joe from the Bridge has this audio from this Ryder Cup nonsense, but it was like he made a point of walking all the way down the range,
right?
And he asked him something. DeChambeau grabs his yardage book, looks at it, gives him an answer, then he walks all the way back. It was so staged. It was
so
crazy.
Staged.
You don't think that somebody got in their ear was like, "You guys got to, you got to diffuse this a little bit." You know what I mean? Like somebody, maybe higher up.
There's no way that they could have a deep hatred. Like I used to hate Scott Stevens' guts, and this is like so not even close to being comparable.
Right.
But I played in one All-Star game, and there's Scott Stevens in the locker room. And you just got to play it cool. Like, hey, man, what's going on? And you know damn well that the next game, that guy is going to kill you. And you got to be his buddy for 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, what's going on? Like, you chat on the ice. You're yucking it up. You're trying to play it cool. But I'm like, this guy's going to kill me in 2 days.
It happens all the time. You run into guys that you have, like, feuds with on the ice.
Yeah.
Or feuds. But, like, chances are, I don't know how you feel, but those guys are like, you talk to somebody, they're like, yeah, that guy's a great guy.
Yeah.
It's just you end up disliking what they do to you or how you end up having that type of battle. Like Steve Ott used to be a pain in everyone's ass as a player.
Oh, yeah.
And him and Aginla had like some pretty healthy battles. And we had played them just before the All-Star break. And sure enough, you go to Vegas and who's sitting at the table is Steve Ott. And you're like, oh, God, like Iggy was just fighting with this guy like not even 36 hours ago. And good guy, a few drinks later and all that. But sure enough, you play them a week after the All-Star break, the guy's
totally
acting up again, right?
Yep.
Like it is what it is. But
that's the job. Like it's a job. And you've got if that's how you, stay in the league or that's how you perform or whatever,
right,
then that's what you bring to the table. So the NHL is opening up camps league-wide. As of tomorrow, the Leafs are in camp for physicals. They'll be on the ice on Thursday. They play Saturday night. And we figured there's going to be a lot of Leaf content. We did a lot yesterday. We will continue to do a lot this week, and we know what's coming up this season. But there are a lot of different things that are percolating throughout the league, a lot of storylines, question marks. So we figured we would each go around the table with something we are personally tracking throughout the rest of Canada, non-Leaf related, in the Eastern Conference and in the Western Conference.
Right.
So three different things each of us are keeping our eye on as we get set for camp. And this is almost like a it's like a pre-course. You know, this is like preparing for the SATs. We're going to try to help people out here in terms of maybe what is going on throughout the league and what you can look forward to as we are on the eve of training camp throughout the league. So, you can kickstart this party. We're going to start with Canada. So non-Leaf related Canadian storyline, then the Eastern Conference, then the Western Conference. So what else in the country are you keeping your eye on in terms of the NHL and training camps opening up tomorrow?
You want me to rip off all three in a row?
Yeah, you can rip off all three. Start with the Canadian one.
My Canadian theme or something that's got my interest is Suzuki, Nick Suzuki in Montreal. Is he going to start a trend of being up for the Selke, Bergeron-type stuff where it's – I think he's that good of a player. Like both sides of the puck, both ends of the rink, 200-foot player, score goals. I think he can be that good of a player. So can he start being talked about for a Selke this year and keep that going for just like Bergeron and these guys? They're up every year.
So I think that's a really good one because guess who's your number one center? And like Deneau's gone, Kotkaniemi's gone.
It's not, he has,
it's him.
He's
it's
their
Nick
guy.
Suzuki's team now. Yeah. Like it's his team now. If Weber's not around and Price isn't around opening night, like he's young and everything, but he will be leaned upon. Montreal. He's a great player.
I can't wait to see. You know, they again completely different. I don't like drawing parallels, but. Is there a chance that maybe he's a Bergeron and Caulfield could be a Pasternak, like a shooter? Like, do they have – they were starting to develop that chemistry naturally in the playoffs and that. Like, this Caulfield, I'm really excited to see what he brings. He might take a step back because
Good.
There's a lot
very
of –
yep.
I call Suzuki. I don't call a Bergeron. There's no – you can't – there's only one Bergeron. You can't
You're right.
Really
I don't –
What like, I call him, Jamie, I call him a hybrid. He's kind of half a Tyler Seguin and half a Bergeron put into one. Where
sure.
he's got some of that offensive flair, the skill, and he's also so responsible with the puck. He reads plays. So if I could label him one thing, it's half a Seguin and half a Bergeron.
Pretty good.
And last time I checked, that's pretty good.
That's pretty
staying
good.
In the Eastern Conference.
Eastern Conference.
Yes.
I would like to see the interest in the first game with the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals now that Ryan Reeves is with the New York Rangers. Because we all remember, Hayes, you tweeted at the pick of the clown leaving MSG with it lit on fire and everything that happened after that. With Tom Wilson. So how is that battle? Because they've always had great games with Ovi and the Rangers, and then what happened last year with Tom Wilson and Panarin. So Ryan Reeves is in that situation. Has that calmed everything down in Ranger Nation? Because Mark Messier called them out last year. They had to address this, that they're not going to get bullied. Does Ryan Reeves fix that, and how are those games going to be played?
I'd be shocked if he didn't. You know, it's not all on him, but he is tough as nails, and he and Wilson are fighting at the Garden. Like it's
sure.
Just, it may not be opening night, but at some point this season it's going to happen.
That's a lock. For
it's
sure, it's a lock. Absolutely.
Absolute lock. Yeah, that's a good one, those two teams. All right,
going
what about
out west. Going out west, I'm curious to see. We talked about Montreal and their centermen. One of them is with the Los Angeles Kings now. Is there kind of bottom feeding over Byfield? Can he step into the lineup and be an impact player here? Hardly played at all last year. Spent some time in the American Hockey League. Does Doughty and Kopitar and Quick mixed in with some of those new additions, are they no longer bottom feeders? You would think with that kind of talent and some young guys and Deneau into the mix, I think they highly overpaid for Deneau. But we'll see. Can they kind of elevate and take one more last breath here and do something?
It's been a couple of years, right?
Couple of years. Yeah, I like Todd McLellan as a coach, and you're right. There's some young players there, but the one guy I really have my eye on is Doughty. It's an Olympic year, and I don't think anybody's got Doughty on their list to play
D. I had him
D.
on mine. I had
Did
him on
you?
Mine last year. Oh, I took heat from all. Oh, there were people yelling and screaming about that.
Well,
I think he's a big game player. I know he's a big game player.
I agree.
And
he is. There's no question he's a big game player, but let's be real. His play up until Christmas is going to dictate if he's on the team.
Absolutely.
Or not.
He has not played, had a great couple of years. He was better last year, though. He was better.
Yeah,
2 years
was.
Ago, he really struggled. Really struggled.
But that's my point is this guy, I think, has a bit of a chip because it's you know, how many years ago? 3-4 years ago, it was unanimous. Like, he's the guy. He's the quarterback. He's the, you know, you need Doughty on your team.
Mm-hmm. And in the Olympics as a 20-year-old, too. Well, was one of their best players.
He's a fantastic player, but I think, you know, L.A. doesn't get a lot of love because of where they are right now in the standings and their, you know, retool, rebuild, whatever. But he's a guy who's got a lot of pride, and I think he's going to want to have a massive start. So you're right. I think it's a good point. L.A. might surprise some people out west.
Okay. Noodles, let's get to your picks. Circling back to Canada here, non-Leaf-related Canadian hockey story. What do you have your eye on?
Canadian hockey story, non-Leaf. For me, it's the Winnipeg Jets taking another step. You know, I think they're deep up front. You know, they haven't lost anything there. I think Dubois is probably going to try and settle in and be more effective. But their defensive core, they added two pieces, whether they overpaid, whether you know, like them or not. You know, Brendan Dillon and Nate Schmidt are an upgrade to what they had already. You know, now you've got Pionk and Morrissey. That's four good players there, and then you add in others. But ultimately, I think Winnipeg is a team that, can they take another step? Now they addressed what was their Achilles heel at the trade deadline last year.
Yeah, well,
and Dubois is the main character there.
Yeah, you're right.
If he can elevate, and he's got to bring a lot more than what he brought to the table. And he was only there 1 year, but apparently his quotes were he got lost, he lost himself, what his play was. I don't know what it was, but he was a not even close to what he was. Watching that guy play in the bubble and watching him play last year, if he can crank it up and you got that goaltender in the net, you always got a chance. With Scheifele and Wheeler, who knows how many real quality years he has left in him. And I think Dubois is the key. If he can crank it up, they're dangerous, man.
The window is
shrinking. Like, there's not a whole lot of time left for that core.
Yep, and tough division, you know. I mean, back to an 82-game sked for sure. But, you know, Connor's a stud. Ehlers is a stud. They got a ton of talent in Winnipeg. All right, what about the Eastern Conference? What are you focused on in the East?
I think, you know, there's so much focus, obviously, with the Leafs and, you know, Tampa and you know, what's going to happen with Pittsburgh and that. I don't want to call Florida underrated, but could they be one of the best teams at not getting enough love?
Overlooked.
Overlooked.
Nature of their market, nature of their history, but they had a great season last year.
Yeah, and you know, continued to add, you know, the Reinhardt pickup. Let's see if Bobrovsky can stop some pucks. Like, they're a group, I think, that's poised to make some noise.
I like their forwards. Sam Bennett really settled in down there.
Yeah, and they like him. They extended him. Like, but he's a fit in that lineup. Now you got Barkov. You still have Huberdeau. Like, I think they're deep and well-balanced. It just, again, it's all Tampa all the time, and I think Florida could be one of those underappreciated teams.
I'm with you on that. I think the big X factor is Aaron Ekblad staying healthy. You know, can he give you 82? Can he give you, or whatever it's going to be? You know, he's when he's on his game, he didn't develop into the superstar we maybe thought he was going to first overall. I think he won Rookie of the Year. If he didn't, he was right there. Maybe Panarin won it his year. But, I think that's reasonable, Noodles. You know, they're a really good team. They'll be reckoned with for sure. What about out west?
Chicago, a dark horse for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting a superstar player back in Taves, and by all accounts, what I've been reading is that he looks good at training, looks healthy, all of that type of stuff. Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, I know he announced that this would be his last year. I mean, we'll see how that unfolds, but you know, you've got a Vezina-winning goaltender in net. Seth Jones, stud on the back end. So you add in Taves, Jones, and Fleury to a team that was on a reset, but some good young players with Patrick Kane still there. Like, they might be a team that, you know, again, could be reckoned with, and you're not giving them enough love because, you know, they haven't really been a massive threat. Although they did beat Edmonton in the bubble, what was that, 2 years ago?
Right, but snuck in as a 12 seed.
Yeah,
should have been there anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. No, I think the Jonathan Toews story is a really fascinating one because of who he is, what he represents, just being away from the game completely, took a complete season off for health purposes, and now he's back, the captaincy, packed barn in that building in Chicago. Think about the ovation he's going to get when he steps onto the ice. It's going to be nuts. And you're right, Fleury, Jones, you know, Chicago will be an intriguing team because Kane's going to the American team. I think DeBrincat could be on that American team.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it. We think Fleury will be there. Jones will be there. Can Taves, we talked about it last week, can Taves do enough to put himself in the chatter about Team Canada? I don't know. But I'm with you on that. Tracking Chicago is always interesting. We'll see what they have. All right, I'm looking at, from a Canadian perspective, Mark Giordano, I believe his number five will be retired. Or yeah. Will it, Noodles? I mean, I would think it would be. Maybe not.
I don't know if they retire there. They kind of do like a...
like a level like a of excellence kind of honoree.
Ring of honor or something.
He's definitely
like that.
Up there for that.
Yeah, for sure.
He's
yeah.
got to be. I mean, he spent the last 13 years there. He's been the captain since Aginla left, and he's no longer there. So what do the Calgary Flames look like, specifically the defense corps, without their stalwart? Like a Norris winner, a guy who played 25 minutes every night, was the man for that team for 13 seasons.
Yeah.
What does Calgary look like? What does that defense look like after a very disappointing season last year without Mark Giordano?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big,
you know,
voice like, in that locker room,
big
too.
Time.
Like that's a major void there for those guys.
It is because of, like you said, he's the whole package. Like, he's not just, you know, he's a class guy, he's a leader, he's tough, he's a warrior, he backs it up with great plays, physical, he's a vocal guy. Like, if you had a template of what you wanted as a captain and what you wanted as a leader in the community, this guy's won the Mark Messier Award as a leader. Like, he just, that's the guy, right? Like, that's exactly what you're, and, you know, Calgary had a tough decision to make because by all accounts, Seattle said, hey, you know, to not pick any player, and this is throughout the league, it was like a first and a something, first and a third. Like, mm-hmm. and that was like not just for Calgary, that was for any player that teams wanted to protect. And, you know, the general manager had to let Giordano go. You make mm-hmm. decisions based on what you believe is best for your organization moving forward. And that's a massive decision that was made there by the Flames organization.
Big time. Big time. Yep. So I'm looking at the Flames without Giordano. That's going to be a big adjustment for them. In the Eastern Conference, it's Pittsburgh. And I am genuinely curious, is this – the end of the road? You know, they made the playoffs every year for what, 15 years or whatever it is, and every time you doubt them, they find a way to put it together and they get hot at the right time and they get in. Sid will not start the season due to injury. Gino will not start the season due to injury. Tristan Jarry had an awful first half last year, got it together, got it going. Letang had a really
playoffs.
Good year. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, new management down there, they didn't have a lot to work with. We had Berkey on a month or two ago. He's like, we got no cap space, no picks, no, like, we're going to see where this goes, you know, basically. Like, I'm not exactly how he phrased it, but he basically said, we don't have a lot to work with here, and we're trying to keep the band together. Jeff Carter will be their number one center opening night. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not exactly a 22-year-old up-and-comer. That's a guy who's been around the block with a lot of injury history himself. So I don't know if Pittsburgh's getting in. It's tough to doubt them, but I think it's the first time in many, many years, really since Sid first broke through,
where
you
can
legitimately
asked,
ask
at
it.
Least.
You have to ask it. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be shocking if Pittsburgh missed the playoffs. It wouldn't be for me anyway. So I'm on Pittsburgh in the East. And out West, I will look at Seattle, and I'm wondering, can they find any of that Vegas magic? They're not going to a cup final, although who knows? Maybe I just jinxed it into existence this year. But can they make the playoffs? Can they be playing meaningful games into April? Like, that would be an incredible success story for an expansion team.
I think they will be. I think they will be playing meaningful, and I think that's all you can ask for, mm-hmm. as opposed to saying they're going to do what Vegas did, because that's just impossible. I think they can be playing meaningful hockey games into late in the season, into April.
Yeah.
I hope so. I don't know. I think they're not going to surprise anybody, and Seattle's not Vegas, as far as the city. Seattle's a beautiful city, but I think that the city of Vegas, even if it's a thin layer, a 5%, 10%, mm-hmm. was a distracting factor in favor of the home team.
Yes.
Because think about it. I mean, how many times did we talk about it? We went there, the Leafs in Vegas, you know? Like,
it was an incredible experience.
Coach is dangling the carrot. Go ahead. Like,
I always knew it would work in Vegas. I was always adamant about that. For years.
Yeah.
Years. I was beating that drum. You got to get to Vegas.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, even the crowd. You can't expect the crowd at Seattle to react the way Vegas reacted.
I think there'll be a class organization. I just think mm-hmm. that they are going to be a middle to bottom tier team just based on what they have. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised because they've got some depth there, but I don't see them like Vegas.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, their goaltending tandem, I think, could be okay, Noodles.
Yeah, they're nice. I like Grubauer and I like Driedger.
Yeah, keep them in some games anyway.
Yeah.
Won't be like Fleury, and I don't remember who the backup was their first year, but Fleury was the man, clearly. So there you have it. A few different stories we're keeping our eye on as we get set for camps to open up tomorrow. And hockey is here, man. The Leafs are in action on Saturday night. Saturday night, the Leafs are playing the Habs. So that is something to look forward to. The Jays are back in action tonight. We're through 2 weeks in the NFL. Get back into that, into the final hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, cannot confirm or deny what we're going to get into in the next hour. What do you got for me? What's going on over there?
I just have to get back to the tee up for the – I have to explain this. We were going to do a pre-tape with Jake the Snake Plumber. And we get Jake the Snake Plumber on the line for a pre-tape earlier. Molly, just play this introduction.
Here he is back on Overdrive, longtime NFLer. We haven't had him on in a couple of years. It's always great to have on. Here is Jake Plumber. What's happening, Jake?
It's DeLome, not Plumber, if you want to reset it.
That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
I listening to that now.
That is outrageous. That is the first time, Hayes, I know, I have never heard that type of interact, like us doing that. Like, it's incredible.
It's just an incredible communication breakdown.
I was shocked because I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, it didn't register for me that we actually had the wrong person.
Right. I thought he was going to say, I'm just kidding. It's Jake Plumber. Let's go.
DeLome, I was like, what, is that a different nickname, instead of Jake the Snake or whatever? Like, hey, don't call me Jake the Snake anymore. Call me DeLome. Like, that's, it's a perfume that I'm pushing or, a hair product or something. Didn't Jake the Snake Plumber used to have, the long skullet?
Oh, yeah, he wore the bandana before Mahomes wore it. He loved the bandana while he was playing.
Right.
Long hair whole nine.
I just, in my mind, I was like, what? And then when you reset, that's when I was like, oh, my God, we are in – what a disaster this is.
What a disaster. And let's clarify something. He had multiple options, Jake DeLome, after that debacle. Hang up immediately.
Yeah.
I would have. I'm going to be honest. I'm not even a celeb. And I called in and somebody said, here we have
– Jeff Daniels joining us now.
I would have hung up and said, sorry, you had the wrong guy and you didn't even have supposed to have me on, so see you later.
Yeah, it would have been so easy for him to hang up. Second option is lay into us, carve us up and down, then hang up.
Right.
Third option, stay on but be rattled and give us nothing.
Yeah.
Not in the mood for it and basically screw you guys. And the fourth option, which is an option none of us would have taken, was to do what Jake DeLome did and give us just a great interview with awesome answers and tons of energy and life.
Thoughtful.
And he was fun, thoughtful. It was great.
He was awesome.
We basically sewered the guy, and it's all because the grappler sewered us, happens from time to time. Yeah,
but what is the grappler? Did he just have
his
numbers?
His claim is that he had it listed as Jake Plumber on his phone, which I find impossible to believe.
See, you know what it is?
But
because I went out.
That's a dog ate my homework.
Exactly.
I went out and told Steph, I'm like, you got to see what's going on here. And she's like, oh, don't worry. I just got off the phone with the grappler. And then it was the excuse train come out because I think she may have given the number to him or whatever.
Uh-oh.
But I heard her going, well, did the contacts migrate? You change your phone or whatever. I'm like, I don't think they
No, it doesn't
migrate.
Change from
the
Jake
wrong name.
Plumber to
no.
Jake DeLome.
No.
Right.
No.
I felt like the excuse train came out, but the grappler owned it. It happens, and it was an all-time – it's one of our all-time best bits ever.
Absolutely, and luckily it was a pre-tape where we could get it back on the rails, set it up, play it, have fun with it. And, not at the expense of Jake DeLome. Let's point that out.
No,
this is our buffoonery.
We love him.
And the idiocy of this show and the way that we operate. We are very well aware of that.
If that was live, that would have been trouble.
Oh,
trouble.
I would have ejected through the roof.
Yeah.
My head would have exploded. And
yeah,
because I was embarrassed because I thought I had screwed up. I thought this whole time I thought it was Plummer, but he had told me it was DeLome. So I'm right. looking at my phone. I'm waiting for the grappler to be like, dude, what's your problem? It's DeLome. And instead, the grappler's like, oops, my bad. You know,
all right, Brooksy.
All right, Brooksy, yeah. Brooksy times a million.
A million.
For the grappler. He is officially in the clubhouse. Yeah. He is Something Tiger else. At Augusta in 97.
Yes.
Right now. And I don't know if he can be caught. Hour three coming up. Confirm or deny will be happening. Jays in action tonight. We'll get back into their game, their performance last night, what happens in the Bronx with the Yankees, what happens in Boston with the Red Sox, and back into the NFL game last night where the Packers are back. Aaron Rodgers looked good. Al's brother on the wrong side of it again on a Monday night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.